Merci, le distingué.
I thank the representative of Belgium. I'm wondering if there are any other delegations that would like to take the floor at this stage. We're still looking at paragraph 16 through 20.
Give me the opportunity also to make one comment that I mean, in the thousands of comments that were addressed to this paragraph that I failed to make, it refers to the use of modals. So then I'm referring to must, should, may, shall. I think that this is the gist of our diplomatic interactions, and it's up to people to sort out collectively what would be the most adequate model to be used. I would just indicate that in our case, the way we have dealt with is this, that we would be using must for those issues in which we are referring to already existing rules of international humanitarian law. While should, we would use to areas in which you have the progressive development of international humanitarian law. So just for the sake of consistency, for you to know exactly where I was at when I made those determinations. Okay, colleagues, I think having said that, perhaps we could then pass on to the considerations of paragraphs 21 and 22. Before we delve into the discussions, I would like to introduce those two paragraphs from the final report of the DGE. 21 and 22 paragraphs, they encapsulate critical considerations that have emerged from our deliberations and I hope reflect our collective insight. Paragraph 21 emphasizes the necessity of ensuring compliance with international humanitarian law. Hold on a second. Let's just stopped it for us to have this sent to translation. So this would facilitate that you follow what I'm saying. Okay. Good. Okay. Paragraph 21 emphasizes the necessity of ensuring compliance with international humanitarian law in the development and deployment of weapons systems based on emerging technologies in the area of lethal autonomous weapon systems. The paragraph highlights the importance of incorporating possible measures in the design and use of such systems. These measures encompass controlling the types of targets engaged, limiting the operational parameters, providing clear procedures for human operators, and ensuring the system's predictability, reliability, understandability, and traceability. These considerations are crucial in enabling the anticipation and control of defects in attacks, as required by international humanitarian law. Along with paragraph 20, paragraph 21 has been, in broad terms, a common feature in all proposals received this year. Likewise, all interventions have reiterated the maturity of our discussions regarding possible measures related to limits and controls over loss. As to paragraph 22, it stresses the significance of human-machine interaction in the use of weapon systems based on emerging technologies. The report underscores the need for this interaction to be consistent with international law, particularly international humanitarian law. This entails adhering to the principles of distinction, proportionality, and the requirement of precautions in attack. By recognizing the centrality of the human role in the application of force, we aim to clarify the ethical and legal foundations that should guide our discussions regarding measures related to the framework governing laws. As we reconvene, I urge each delegation to approach our deliberations with an open mind and sincere commitment to find common ground. I wish you all fruitful discussions and a successful session. So the floor is open, colleagues that would like to address paragraphs 21 and 22. And I see that Australia was the first. Australia, you have the floor.